wanted to say a few words about hindrances. Some of you might actually be wondering, what are the hindrances? Although you may have a sense, yeah, lots of hindrances, lots of obstacles happen in our practice that we become aware of. There's a formulation of five hindrances, and perhaps all of your own particular obstacles or hindrances to being mindful. You might be able to slot into those five categories, and you may find this categorization helpful. And if you don't find it helpful, you can just drop it. Okay? So that's important. So take in what feels like it speaks to you, and let go of what doesn't speak to you, what may be confusing. Just let it be. It's a long journey, this mindfulness cultivation, so take that long view. Hindrances to what? So hindrances to our mindfulness, to a bit of focus, concentration, to insight. And the five hindrances are listed. First of all, I'll just name them, and then I'll say a little bit about each one, and then I'll talk about how to work with them. So the five hindrances are, the first one is wanting mind, or being caught up in desiring things, in particular sense pleasures. So wanting mind, and wanting mind is bookended with not wanting mind, or aversion, which you're probably pretty familiar with from Mindful Living program. So we have those two, and then we have another pair, which are restlessness, worry, which is one hindrance as a package, and then it's juxtaposed with sleepy mind, or sloth and torpor, which is the fancy name for it. So you can think about those two as being a pair. They're kind of opposite ends of energy. And then the fifth is a fifth wheel, and that's doubt. So it's the doubting mind, it's uncertainty, and it can be doubt and uncertainty about the practice, but also one's capacity to practice. So coming back to wanting mind, some of you may be familiar with the expression clinging, or attachment. And so what we do as humans is we are wired, it's not our fault, we are wired to chase after the pleasant. So this may sound a little familiar, to chase after the pleasant and get caught up in wanting more and more pleasant, more and more chocolate or popcorn, my vices. For others, it could be other things. And often, we get caught up in the wanting mind, partly because we're disgruntled. We're caught in an aversive mind state, and we want to fix it. So those two play off each other. But first, here's a little poem on wanting mind, and it's simply called Mind Wanting More. Only a beige slat of sun above the horizon, like a shade pulled not quite down, otherwise clouds, sea rippled here and there, birds reluctant to fly. The mind wants a shaft of sun to stir the gray porridge of clouds, an osprey to stitch sea to sky with its bared wings, some dramatic music, a symphony, perhaps a Chinese gong. But the mind always wants more than it has, one more bright day of sun, one more clear night in bed with the moon, one more hour to get the words right, one more chance for the heart in hiding to emerge from its thicket in dried grasses, as if this quiet day with its tentative light weren't enough, as if joy weren't strewn all around. So you can see the connection to the mindfulness, and I'll talk more about that in a few moments, that, you know, simply that if we deepen our awareness, we might find that we can actually let go of some of that wanting, or the letting go will happen. Okay, so on the opposite end of the spectrum is aversion, right? The not wanting, the pushing away. So wanting is a pulling towards, and you can feel that physically in the body, and aversion, not wanting mind, has a pushing away energy to it. I'll just read part of this Kabir piece. So this is from Muslim tradition, so it's got the God word in it and so forth, and you apply that as you see fit to these practices. But just a little preface is that, you know, we can have the form of mindfulness. We can look, you know, very, as my kids would say, very Om-ish, right? Be in the posture, you know, with the fingers and the whole bit. We can have all of that and yet not be mindful. So he alludes to that type of thing. He says, go over and over your beads, paint weird designs on your forehead, wear your hair matted, long, and ostentatious. But when deep inside you there is a loaded gun, how can you have God? Very strong words, right? So if we are filled with aversion, if we are filled with ill will, how can we possibly be mindful? We're really caught in a struggle there. And then, as I was saying, our craving after sense desires often is a way to counteract unpleasantness, aversion we may have for unpleasantness. These two play off each other. And it's important to remember that we can't reject the sensual world. We are biological beings. And it's well and good to enjoy our food and comfortable clothing and to feel warm enough and to enjoy that and so forth, or cool enough. It's the attitude towards these things. It's the grasping after them that causes us to suffer and not be awake. So we can't reject sense pleasures and sense objects. Otherwise, we're just caught in aversion. That makes sense? Yeah, that's aversion. So here's another Kabir piece. And again, it's got that kind of devotional tone that he has in his writings. And he writes, friend, please tell me what I can do about this world I hold to and keep spinning out. I gave up sewing clothes and wore a robe. But I noticed one day the cloth was well woven. So I bought some burlap, but I still throw it elegantly over my left shoulder. I pulled back my sexual longings, and now I discover that I'm angry a lot. I gave up rage, and now I notice that I am greedy all day. I worked hard at dissolving the greed, and now I am proud of myself. When the mind wants to break its link with the world, it still holds on to one thing. If you're not awake. If we're awake, we can, with the awareness of the holding on or the pushing away, we can create the conditions for letting go. So now, said less poetically, but maybe more pointedly, is this cute little cartoon about the relationship between grasping after sense desires and trying to avoid the unpleasant. So here's the woman sitting in meditation, and the bubble above her head says, today I will live in the moment. And underneath it says, unless the moment is unpleasant, in which case I will eat a cookie. So that's what we get caught up in. All right. So, here's a few instructions around our practice. And again, I'll repeat this all day long, so not to worry. There are a few tasks around working with the hindrances, these obstructions to our mindfulness. One is to know when they're present. You can feel that through the body. in the heart, in the mind. I'll instruct you all day. Know when it's present. Also know when it's absent, when a hindrance disappears. That's a beautiful moment. That's a refreshing, wakeful moment. Enjoy it. And you may find you cling after it, and then you can notice that. And then that disappears. So to be aware of its presence, be aware of its absence. Over time, with practice, we can start to become aware of the conditions. If this was several days of retreat, we could become more and more aware of the conditions that give rise to a particular hindrance. But even on a one-day retreat, you may have some appreciation of conditions that give rise to a hindrance. For example, with myself, if I'm tired, I'm more likely to drop into aversion. Really easy. Yeah. If I've had a lot of excitement, I'm more likely to get caught in wanting mind. Mm. Just up the ante. This is exciting. Let's have more excitement, right? Mm. That kind of thing. So we want to recognize when they're present, when they're absent. I think most of you are quite familiar with sleepy mind. And we've talked a lot about that in mindful living workshops and mindful living grad. But it's come up a lot. Also, the restless worry mind, that opposite hindrance. So the main practice here is to feel it through the body, feel that restlessness, be aware of the worry thoughts, and recognize and allow them. Same with doubt, recognize and allow them. So what do I mean by that? I think sometimes we forget what mindfulness is. I certainly do. I'll forget, and I'll think it's a simple recognition, a simple awareness of what's going down. And we need to really remember that it's also an acceptance of what's happening. And this is the challenging part, and an acceptance with kindness, with friendliness. So you might recognize already the RAIN acronym I'm using, recognize, allow. And all through the day, if you just keep using the RAIN acronym, that will serve as a nice guide for you, and I'll remind you. So to recognize and accept doesn't mean we lie down and die to it all. It's that we're accepting this is what's happening. This is how it is in this moment. This is how this body is feeling, this heart, this mind. So how can we know we're not accepting? I've learned a couple of key things from listening to Joseph Goldstein, and he talks about asking ourselves while we're in the midst of our practice, is there any struggle? So if there is any struggle with what is arising, that means we are not accepting. And sometimes just asking that question releases the struggle. By asking the question, we're already opening to it. Another great question he talks about is, how's the attitude? And so we can recognize possibly a bit of wanting or aversion. Even the other hindrances may show with that question. How's the attitude? And again, with that question as well, it may suffice to deepen the recognition into some acceptance, and the letting go then appears. It happens. We're creating conditions for letting go. It's not like we're pushing things away. That's aversion. We're creating the conditions for letting go to happen. So, is there any struggle? It means we're not accepting. How's the attitude? We might recognize wanting, aversion. So some of the other questions that I've added into this scheme that I find helpful that address the other hindrances is to periodically ask, how's the energy? How's the energy? And that might tip me into recognizing and accepting, oh, there's restlessness, or oh, there's sleepy mind-body happening here. So how's the energy? And then with doubt, a question that I find helpful is how's the faith, or how's the confidence, or how's the trust? You perhaps find your own word there, but or even ease. Yeah? Trust, faith, confidence, ease in the practice might bring awareness of some doubt. So regardless of the hindrance, recognize, mental note, label, and allow, accept that it's here. And again, sometimes that's all we need to do, and other times we need to go farther with that. We need to investigate, right? So RAI of RAIN, so we investigate. And you all know how to do that. Feel it through the body. And when we're feeling it through the body, really pay attention to how the experience is changing. So now we're bringing wisdom into the whole picture, that things change. So we don't have to push stuff away, because they're going to change on their own. And if we bring our awareness into the changing nature, poof, things dissolve all on their own. If we're not bringing that awareness, acceptance, investigation into it, things tend to hamster wheel. Our experiences tend to hamster wheel, and I think you know what I mean by that. And just simply investigating, noticing the changing nature, it might even help you to notice, there's suffering here. Feel the suffering of that. That's a wonderful, wise motivator for letting go to happen, to feel the suffering. Oh, this isn't helpful. And we can start to let that thought stream or afflictive emotion, contraction in the body, can start to let it be, let it go. And then remembering the N of RAIN, right? So that's the non-identification piece. And this is where, within the context of working with hindrances, we might be reminding ourselves that all the hindrances are simply conditioned arisings. This will be a familiar term for some of you and not for others. But the hindrances are arising out of a world of conditions and causes. They are not personal. And so can we open to them with compassion, with care, see it as simply nature rolling on. And this is very, very important. Keeps us going with the practice. We can let go of that taking things so personally as some kind of failing on our parts. Hindrances are not our failings. They are simply human. Yeah. All right. I think that's enough. We'll pause there.